The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And good morning. It's 8 a.m. Central Time here in the Power Hour. Thank you so much for joining us. By the way, for those of you out there that are in the prayer mode, there's a fella I know out in California that's been fighting the banks trying to save his home. He has been diagnosed with terminal cancer. His name is Charles in California. If you could put him on your prayer list and pray for deliverance here in one way, shape, or form. I don't know how much longer he has to live, but he's fighting cancer and they're trying to steal his home, and he's going to be homeless with cancer. That's not a pleasant situation to be in. And, he's been fighting the system, and this is a tough nut. Anybody who has been fighting the system knows that. Lee Dundas is an attorney that's been fighting the system plenty. I mean, she was involved in and still is involved in everything to do with COVID. And Lee, welcome to the show. I don't know how you have time with all these lawsuits going on to sit there and write a book called Just Stand Up, My Fight for Freedom from the Brothels of Ages to the Streets of America, exposing child brothels across the Middle East. I don't know how you have time for this. I mean, attorneys, man, they're so busy. I can't even get through to half of them I want to talk to.
Well, thanks so much for having me this morning, and you make a fair point. I used to think there were way too many lawyers in America, but since March of 2020, I think there aren't enough, given the amount of civil liberties and constitutional rights violations we're seeing on an hourly basis.
No doubt. So, what prompted you to take time away from all of this to do this? Obviously, your fight against child slavery, this all of a sudden just popped in your head, or is this something that's been troubling you? It's been on your mind and stuff. People have been confronting you with this stuff saying, do something. I mean, how did this happen?
Well, about 10 years ago, my husband and I had sold our small business, and we traveled to Australia to visit some friends from church down there. And, you know, long story short, and the honest answer to your question is I just got bored. I'm not one of those people who sits around not working and not doing anything. And, you know, you think vacationing is going to be sort of a utopia, but for the type A people, you know, I just was looking at a wall and going crazy. And I decided, you know, I've known about sex slavery and sexual violence for decades. I was a psych sociology major in college, and I'd worked at the DA's office prosecuting crimes for a little while early in my career, and I just thought, I got some time on my hands. I'm going to reach out to some of these anti-trafficking organizations and see if I can help. And loudly and resoundingly, they slammed the phone down. They said, wait, look, you're a white soccer mom from Orange County, California, traveling through, you know, Australasia, and you want to do good? No, thank you. But I'm persistent, and I kept calling, and I finally got a call back from one. They invited me to a meeting in Vietnam, Da Nang, Vietnam, of all things, literally 10 years ago in May of 2013. And I went to the meeting with some of the folks who'd invited me, including the executive crew of a Christian-based anti-sex slavery nonprofit that was doing work all over the world, fell in love with the work, came home with a job.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is, and I just wonder, because of this, and you were a prosecutor at one time. It amazes me because most of the attorneys out there that I know have spent some time in the DA's office. Were you successful? I mean, you did prosecute these child abuse cases. Were you successful in that?
Well, I was actually interning there my whole third year of law school, and shockingly, they let you, even as an intern, handle jury trials, but they don't let you handle the overly serious ones. So I did a lot of, watching of the rape and child abuse cases. I did have one domestic violence case. It was actually two gay men, and one of them had beaten the living you-know-what out of the other and drop-kicked the guy down the stairs in steel-toed boots. And, you know, it's hard when you work with victims of any type, even if it's it's, you know, just a victim of a drunk driving case or whatever it might have been, where the guy was driving drunk and slammed into somebody's car, your heart really breaks for him if you're a normal person. And I am happy to say that the LADA's office, at least at the time, I mean, this was back in 1993, 4, right around in there, they had a great success rate prosecuting criminals of all type. And we actually did prosecute criminals back in the day of all types, whether it was shoplifting or burglary or escaping from jail, which is its own crime. I didn't even know that occurred before I worked there. There are people who break out of jail and they get caught again, and we put them away for the second crime of breaking out of the jail from their first jail sentence. But we had a great run, and it's very sad to me to see what's happening in places like San Francisco and in LA now, where the cops are told not to arrest the criminals, and even when they do, the prosecutors and the offices won't prosecute the crimes because they're being run by actual communists. I mean, I don't know how many of your listeners know this, but we had an actual avowed communist whose parents were part of Weather Underground, which was blowing up banks back in the 60s and 70s. They went away for life sentences, and their two-year-old son was raised by other communists, and he grew up to become the DA of San Francisco. And apparently that went too far, because even the good people of San Francisco, very liberal though they may be, kind of had it up to the ears with him, because he just wasn't prosecuting anything, and they got rid of him a few months back. But there is a reason.
You're talking about Chesa Boudin, right?
Yes. There is a reason that we have laws, and if you want to know and understand that reason, just go travel in a third world country, and you will come home for a new, with a new respect for law and order, and the fact that it keeps the dangerous elements of society off the streets and keeps your kids safe. And we need to keep upholding it if we don't want America to slide back into a third world sort of status, if you will.
I don't know. With these four indictments of Trump, I'm looking at Banana Republic already, but I'm just kind of curious. I think with the cartels coming into America and dragging in all of these minor children, and we've got, 80-something thousand minor children that have disappeared, and people are saying, you know, where'd they go? I mean, did this prompt any of the commentary that you put in your book?
You know, yes. The short answer is yes, even though most of my work was in Southeast Asia, in Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, places like that. I'm obviously, you know, here in California, quite close to our border, and we're seeing people flood over the border. And when you've got, again, no enforcement at the border, we had great enforcement under Trump. And, I mean, he would go so far as to actually do DNA analyses on families that said they were, quote, families, to make sure they were actually families, and we didn't have coyotes or mules or bad people escorting unaccompanied minors over the border for their own nefarious purposes. But, you know, with Biden's new policy, he may as well have, you know, hung an open welcome come on in sign on our back door here. And it's a problem. Not only do we have unaccompanied minors, the majority of whom are going missing and getting sex trafficked or labor trafficked once they get over here, we've got Middle Eastern young men coming over, you know, by the dozens. And why? Why are Middle Eastern men coming over our Mexico border? These are the things that make you go, I think we have a problem, and if we don't get on top of it soon, you're absolutely right. Not only are we going to have a banana republic in terms of how we're, you know, being run from the White House, we're going to have a banana republic all over the border of this country, and it's not something that most Americans are ready for, in my humble opinion, nor should we be.
Right. Well, Lee, I mean, come on, you're an attorney, and I respect you highly for all the work that you've done with the COVID nonsense and everything else that's going on here, and the pilots and whatnot. I'm just curious as to, when you say these people from the Middle East are coming in here, obviously I'm thinking nefarious intent right out of the gate. I mean, we're in more of a crisis situation right now than we've ever been, albeit, you know, a lot of the sex trafficking is going on here. I mean, you see a lot of parallels between what's going on in Asia and here.
You know, absolutely, absolutely. And one of the areas I do a lot of work in Southeast Asia is along the Thailand-Malaysia border. And a lot of people don't know this because it's so far away from us and it gets absolutely no media play, but they've been at war for a long time. You've got radicalized Muslim insurgent bomber terror cells that are training up suicide bombers and the like, who are on the Malay side of the river that divides the two countries down there. And over the river, you have a town on the Thailand side that has 140 children. about brothels in it. Nothing else. No industry of note. It's all brothel, 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 shy brothel. And as if the girls don't have enough to worry about, not only do these men come across the river and buy them and rape them 10 times a night, you know, after paying the mamasana a little fee, you know, they go back across the river and they need to keep up with their bombing skills. So what do? They bomb the living heck out of the brothels for target practice. The first year I worked there, we had 330 bombs go off in that region. I mean, that's a bomb a day for the most part. And that is how much of the rest of the world lives. And when you see unaccompanied young men who have no business being in Mexico because they aren't from Central South America or Mexico, they're Chinese, they're Middle Eastern, they're coming over, they've got no known affiliations, and you're hearing from the ranchers who have adjacent, you know, ranches on the border that they're coming across their land and they're forming up into small little militia looking like bands of groups of men, and you've got China buying up a bunch of land also along our border. Unless you're a mental midget, everybody can do the math on that and go, wow, we've got China buying up land, we've got hordes of young men with no known affiliation to our country coming across our southern border illegally. I wonder what they're up to. And I'll tell you what they're up to. You know, you can put in a suitcase a nuclear bomb, you can put in a suitcase an EMP, you know, detonation device. It doesn't have to go boom and radioactively destroy us all. It can just go boom and take out half our grid. And those are things that we need to be very, very concerned with, and those are reasons why we should be securing our borders separate and apart from the obvious issues with immigration and sex trafficking of youth and young women getting, you know, going missing once they come over the border.
A mindset after my own heart. I have been preaching this. Lee, I've been preaching the same thing over and over. See, folks, this is an interview. Unlike what you heard yesterday, this is an interview. This is the commentary that we should be asking, because, see, we get to ask questions and answers. The phone line is open, 844-769-2944. We didn't have it open yesterday, obviously. You know, we're not fear-mongering here. We're talking to an attorney that's been on the front line of COVID, been on the front line of this now. I didn't even realize, Lee, that you were that heavy into this. But, I mean, you've been over there, and you've seen a lot of parallels of what's going on over there versus what's going on over here, what the potentials are. And for you to bring up EMP in our grid and everything else that's going on, I mean, you're echoing the same stuff that I've been saying ever since I took over the reins of the show. We know it's going to happen. It's a matter of time, don't you think?
I do think it's a matter of time if we don't put this ship back on the right course. And that's not to say you should, you know, go run around and you know, live as if it's your last day on earth. We all have children. A lot of us have children or grandchildren or nieces and nephews and jobs, and we need to keep our daily life going. But what I will say is you also need to make time as if you are living in a war zone, even though there are not active bombs going off in a kinetic way yet. Because, in fact, we are at war. This is just a different kind of war. It is what we call a fifth-generation war. It is an information war, a psyops war. Khrushchev said decades ago, you know, 60, 70 years ago now, I will take America without firing a single shot. I will destroy her from within. And when you look at the fact that we had 45 communist goals that were read into the open congressional record in 1963, which included things like taking over one or both political parties, recognizing Red China, permitting trade with countries regardless of communist affiliation, getting rid of schools, taking over schools, and using them as a quote-unquote transmission belt for the purveying of communist and socialist propaganda, we're there, my friends, and we can't have this going on. When you survey 52% of our youth right now in college think it would be cool to live in a communist or socialist country. I got a word of advice for your parents in the audience. Quit right now taking your kids to the Grand Canyon and Disneyland for their summer and Christmas breaks and start taking them to Cambodia. I took my daughter to Cambodia when she was 8 years old in third grade. We accidentally ended up at the killing fields where she was eyeball to eye socket with a skull that had washed up 50 years later from the Cambodian genocide, and they put the skulls and skeletons in this big memorial. And I thought I was going to be buying her 10 years of therapy, but she looked at me and she said, "Mama, how did this happen?" And I looked back at her and I said, those in power lied to the people. And by the time the people figured it out, it was too darn late. Let this be a lesson. You always go with your gut. You always use your critical reasoning. And do not ever believe people in power just because they're in power. More often than not, they're going to use that power to lie to you, even in a first world country. And I am here to tell you, my child, now that she's 18, is not one of those deluded youth. We need to start showing our children the reality because they are the ones who are going to be in power soon, and they need to help us take this country back, or we're not going to have a country.
You're right about that. Now, I'm surprised, I'm really surprised, is that we don't have jammed phone lines right now, because, I mean, everything you're saying is literally what our mindset has been. Most of our listeners are very much awake, very much aware. The scales have fallen off their eyes. They understand every single thing. They see what you see. They see what I see. And see, you're writing a book about something that's happening in a land far away. And people, you know, sometimes don't relate real well until you start bringing it home. And the thing is that, you know, the streets of America, how is this network? I mean, you've obviously studied what's going on over there. What are the parallels between what's going on over there and what's going on over here?
You know, it's the same crime. For those of your audience who are not already grouped in, although I suspect most of them are, human trafficking is the second largest and fastest growing crime in the world right now, second only to drugs. And it's about to topple drugs to take that top spot for the simple reason that there's a whole heck of a lot more money and profit in selling a seven-year-old to a sex buyer, whether it's here in Chicago or on the streets of Bangkok, than there is in selling cocaine to an addict. You sell coke to an addict, that cocaine is gone. And you have to take part of the money you make tonight and go buy more product in order to sell more product tomorrow. And that eats into your profit margin. You got to take 30% of your gross and plow it back into resupplying your stash. If you sell a seven-year-old to a pedophile, in contrast, and that guy likes it and he wants to come back to you for more kid tomorrow night, you don't need to go buy another kid, whether you're here or in some other country, in order to sell more kid to the pedophile. You just rent that girl over and over and over until she dies, which here in America, according to the FBI statistics that were released back when I was first starting this work 10, 15 years ago, it takes about 7 years from the time a girl is first turned out on the streets of America at around age 12. It takes about 7 years for her to die. You do some simple math, 7 and 12, these kids are dying by the time they can legally vote. And that is not acceptable. The situation in Asia, third world countries I work in, is even worse. And the only real difference is not whether it's happening, because it is happening. If you have a hotel or motel in your town here in America, I guarantee you at some point a girl either has been or will be sold for sex to a pedophile in that town. The question is not whether it's happening, it's how easily spotted is it. You can walk into a bar in Bangkok or a bar in the town I was talking about in the south of Thailand and say, oh, the menu looks good. I'll get a burger, some fries, a beer, and when I'm done, I'll take number 13. And number 13 is a girl. And you just take her in back and you have sex. And it's very overt. It's very out in the open. You can't quite do it that easily in most places in America today. Although, I should say you can't do it in a bar that easily. With the advent of cell phone technology, all you really need to do is wait for your wife to go to a business conference, pack off the kids to a slumber party down the street, order up a Domino's pizza and decide you want a little kink and perversion with that, and you go cruising Craigslist or some one of the other sites and order up a girl, and she comes into your house, and your wife's none the wiser, nor are your kids. So cell phone technology has really also rapidly helped the crime of sex trafficking escalate to the position it now holds, which is crazy. There's 40 million people, as many people as we have in California, are currently enslaved worldwide. Most of those are involved in crimes involving sexual servitude, and it's very, very sad.
Oh, my. Oh, Robert in Florida, you're on the phone with Lee Dundas. Go ahead.
Good morning, Dave. I think you should refer to them as blessed breaks going forward.
Yeah, blessed breaks. Okay, that's good. Okay, do you have a question for Lee?
Yeah, so what... First, a comment. It's, you're right, it's a war, but it's a war in heaven that has engulfed the entire earth at this point. And some people call it a spiritual battle because, obviously, that's it. But it's also a physical. We have to physically and spiritually engage. So my question is, do you know what is going on with the parents? How is it that the children basically slip away? Or are they, I mean, I know I lived in Asia for a while, and a lot of the kids were sold into slavery.
Yeah. You're exactly right, Robert. So in Asia, the majority of kids we see and rescue out of sex trafficking were sold by their families. And I didn't really have an understanding when I first worked there, but we had taken a Christian film crew into one of the brothels, and this 12, 13-year-old girl bravely agreed to be interviewed by us. And we sat her in the corner with her face in the shadows like they do for like a 60 minutes interview. And one of the questions we asked her is, did you know when you got here what you would be doing? And she looked squarely into our cameras and she said, oh, I knew exactly what I'd be doing, but I'm not unhappy because my seven brothers and sisters have food on the table and they're not starving to death, nor is my mother. And if you had asked me prior to that minute, do I think it's wrong to sell my eldest daughter to a brothel? I'm pretty sure you, Robert, and, you know, our DJ here and me and the rest of the listening audience would have had only one question, answer to that question. But that is a function of the fact that we were all raised in a first world country. I ask you now to consider the very hard question, is it any more or less wrong to not sell your eldest daughter to a brothel and watch all 7 or 10 of your kids starved to death this year? So yes, the parents sell their kids to a brothel, but when you back that up, you rapidly realize they're doing it because if they don't, the kid will die. And that is a choice nobody should have to be making. We have to solve the poverty problem and the demand problem. I got to say it. It's not a popular thing to say, especially me being a chick right now, but I've never been one to pull my punches. People would not be selling children for sex if men were not lining up to buy them. If the only things they were buying were cocaine and illegal weapons, all the mafias of the world would go back to selling just those two things, and they'd quit. They'd knock off selling human beings for sex. So we need to educate our children. You don't buy people for any reason, sex or labor services or, you know, paying them unfair wages in a Nike t-shirt factory or a tennis shoe factory. But the other part of that question in America is a lot of these kids are runaway youth. They come out of the foster system, group homes, and they'll say when you rescue them, I had it better with my pimp than I had it at home because they were being abused in their home. The odds are within 48 hours of your kid hitting the street, if they run away, they will be approached by a sex trafficker. So if you're a good family and your kid ran away because of a misunderstanding, as soon as they're out that door, you're on the clock. You got 2 days because otherwise some pimp will zero in on them and put them in some position you would never want your child to be in.
Oh, thank you for what you're doing, Lee. God bless you.
Oh, and you as well. And you made a good point. This is a spiritual battle more than it's a physical one, and we need to be fighting it in both places if we're going to win. And I do believe we will win, but we got our work cut out for us.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate your call. Sherry in Kansas, you're on the phone with Lee Dundas. Go ahead.
Yes, Lee, thank you again for what you're doing. I really respect you for that. I've heard that another source of these children is when there's war and conflict in some of these places, that if they're orphaned, they can easily get into that stream.
Yeah. Yeah, that is absolutely right, Sherry. War, any sort of chaos, even natural disasters, volcanoes going off, tidal waves, tsunamis, typhoons, but especially war because it's the king chaos producer, right? All of these conditions allow children to go without parental supervision because the parents have gone missing or they're busy trying to survive or they're busy fighting to stay alive. And it's an unfortunate reality on this planet Earth that we're living on, that people of ill intentions move into that, and when somebody's back is turned, either briefly to survive or permanently because the parents were killed or they went missing or whatever, the youth become sex trafficked. And we were seeing a lot of that over the last year in the Ukraine-Russia conflict. Kids were going missing by the dozens, and I was briefly planning to go over there this last February to try to get our arms around some of those orphan youth and get them safe haven before they could be sex trafficked. But it was hard to get in because, ironically, a lot of the times the governments don't want the good people to come in and do good things. And it's so strange because you would think, well, if the government said good people in them, why wouldn't they be accepting help? I mean, the same thing is it's going on in Maui right now. You keep your ear to the ground and you realize that FEMA and Red Cross are there and the local government is there and all these people want to send donations and they want to go in there and they want to give these people housing and food and they can't get in to help. Well, a lot of times, not just in third world countries, but even our own, the government is there to hurt more than help. And, you know, Ronald Reagan nailed it when he said, when the government shows up at your door and they say they're here to help, run the other way. I forget what the quote it was, but it was something like that. And the man had a point. In many cases, government is not helping you; it's actually hurting you. And yet we're called by God to get something done in these regions anyway, and we try. And in many cases, we actually succeed. And that's the good part of the equation.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you, Sherry. Jeff in North Carolina, ex-vet. You're on the phone with Lee Dundas. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. Thank you to your guests. I have a couple questions, ma'am. First off, what do you know what the young, I mean, this is horrid stuff with the sex trafficking. What is the youngest that these people are, ages of these kids being sex trafficked? Do you know what the youngest is? And I have a couple more questions.
It's a really good question. Thank you so much for asking it, Jeff, and thank you as well for your service. My daddy and granddaddy were Navy, and my husband's an Army tanker unit for 10 years. So I grew up in a family where we honor and respect those who've served because we understand that those are the men and women who are keeping us free. So thank you from the bottom of my heart to the bottom of yours for helping this country out during your service. It's a really hard answer to your question, but I don't believe that we get anywhere by covering up the truth. The reality is there is no younger age. And I'll give you an example that doesn't hit so close to home, but China, of course, has the one-child policy, and they value their men in that country. So when a woman in China gives birth to a little girl, in many cases, they want to get a second bite at that one-child policy or apple, as it were. And so they will go to the southern border of China, and they will sell their little baby girl over the border instead of just killing her. So I guess that's a slightly better end. But they sell her to these sex traffickers and the brothel owners in Cambodia, in Laos, in those neighboring regions, because those industries have need of little girls. And as sick as it is, you get Chicago dentists and Australian soccer coaches and people the world over flying into these regions in Southeast Asia because they want to have sex with little boys or little girls. Some of them like them when they're 12 years old. Some of them like 7-year-olds. Some of them like babies. And there is no lower limit to perversion. And that is the sad truth. But the other good reality is that those kids do get rescued. The youngest girl, when I first started doing this work, that was actually in the Laotian sex trafficking rescue facility at the time, was 7. So she'd already been sex trafficked, but she had also already been rescued. And when you rescue these kids, they're young enough and they're in need of enough help and they're willing to take it still because they're not a teenager, that in many cases you can get really good outcomes with them once you get them the spiritual, emotional, and physical help that they need.
Wow. So there's good out of it, and there's real bad, and there's also some good. But also one more question. You touched on this a minute ago. I'm on YouTube quite a bit, and there's ads that pop up sometimes where it'll say, like, housewives 1.8 miles from you wanting intimacy and stuff like that. You know, yeah. You get these ads once in a while like this coming up. And I was wanting to know, do you have any idea how much these ads are being answered and how much they're being used and stuff? I was just curious about that, if you had any idea. And I'll hang up. Thank you, Dave. God bless y'all.
God bless you, too, sir.
It's a great question, and these ads are used in many cases to sell women over 18 and under 18 to men who want sex. Most women don't grow up and say, I want to be a hooker or a prostitute or be sex trafficked. So you have to understand, especially in America, but also everywhere, they have pimps. 90% of the money you're paying a girl, if you're buying a girl, or more, 100% of it, is not going to the girl. It's going to the pimp. And that girl is just a victim in a crime that you may not see the whole tapestry of. And when you pull it back, she is being run and used as a pawn in a game where your money is going into some dude's pocket to pay for his diamonds and his bling and his cars and his boats. And, I mean, they're making sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars a week cash, untaxed, here in America. And that is what you're supporting. And we got to be more careful when those ads pop up, because we don't want to be part of that system.
We don't. Lee, we have other phone callers holding. Can you stay on after the break and continue this conversation?
Sure.
I appreciate that. God bless you. All right. We're on the phone with Lee Dundas, and we have this, as Robert put it, blessed break here in the Power Hour. As soon as we get done with that, at 32 minutes, we will be back with Lee Dundas on the Power Hour. Stay with us.
I reached out to Grown by Nature and asked if they had a zinc product that they thought could help, and they did. Not only is zinc amazing for skin healing, it has helped with his neurological behavioral. Somebody is considering taking that zinc and copper, and if, you know, they have a child who struggles with behavioral or neurological aspects, what I found out is that zinc is critical for the natural creation of neurotransmitters. And if you don't have enough neurotransmitters, you can have neurological and therefore behavioral effects that you do not want in your child. Grown by Nature, zinc and copper formula, it helped us now figure out things that will help him for his future.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour is an independent radio show. We are funded by people who appreciate our work, not by ads or algorithms. Your support is key to the continuation of this broadcast. To show your support so that we can continue to bring you unbiased information that is now more vital than ever, please visit thepowerhour.com and click Support Us. You can also place a donation by phone by calling 877-817-9829. We thank you for any amount of support that you're able to give.
Thirty-two minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you on this Thursday. We've got 10% off OptiVita products as well as 10% off Grown by Nature. The Grown by Nature has free shipping on those orders this week, so you can take advantage of the sale and sign up for AutoShip this week. Here at the Power Mall is open right now. Attorney Lee Dundas has a wide and varied legal past. And I mean, I am blown away because I did not realize amongst all the fighting of the COVID pandemic and the mandates and everything else that Lee has been involved with, she's actually traveled to the Middle East and the Far East and seen all of this brothels going on in Asia. I'm just going to go right back to the phones and get Eric from Nebraska on here. Eric, you're on the phone with Lee Dundas. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering if your guest had heard of a man. He goes by the name Zay, and he has an organization that recovers these kids in sex slavery. It's called EndingChildSexSlavery.org. Have you heard of him?
I have.
Wow, it's a pretty amazing story he has, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, he said he rescued 2,700.
Yeah.
Military style is how he...
Yeah, that's the way it's done. We were doing the same. We would hire former Navy SEAL type guys, SWAT team trained guys, you know, military law enforcement, and once they retired out at 40, 45, we'd send them into the brothels because that's just how you get it done when you're overseas and trying to fight sex slavery. So a lot of good people doing a lot of good work out there, and we need more of it.
Well, I guess you verified that. I'll go ahead and buy his books on the Plagiarian Diaries then.
You do that. Get a copy of mine while you're at it, though.
Yeah,
I will. All right. Thank you.
Good.
Lee, for what you're doing here, you go ahead and give that shameless plug as many times as you want to. We love it. It's available on Amazon, folks, by the way.
It is. It's available on Amazon or from my website. My website is leedundas.com or freedomfighternation.org is the name of my nonprofit. And my mama gave me extra letters in my name. So Lee is spelled L-E-I-G-H and the last name's D-U-N-D-A-S at leedundas.com. And the name of it, there's a couple books out there with a similar name, but it's Just Stand Up, My Fight for Freedom from the Brothels of Asia to the Streets of America. And the good news is if you buy it off my website, I actually make a little money and I can plow it back into the freedom fighting for our kids here in America and fighting the sex traffickers. If you buy it on Amazon, hopefully I make the bestseller list, but that's probably all we'll get because all the money goes to Amazon. But either way, what I really want is for people to get educated. So just buy the book any way, shape, or form because I do believe it'll do you a good turn in terms of upping your awareness and how to get more involved on anything that's an injustice, not just sex trafficking, but maybe it's your principal doing the wrong thing in the school and trying to mask your kids or, you know, get a drag queen to do a story hour. The lessons we use to fight the brothels in Asia are a transferable skill set, my friends, and they can be used to fight any sort of injustice here in America as well.
That is amazing. So the 40,000-foot view of this is basically everything that you've been describing in the past half hour in this last segment that we've been talking about and answering questions on. The content of the book basically is just a chronology of everything that you've done as a human rights attorney. The things that you've done with COVID, for example, I mean, that's still an ongoing thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and it looks like we're going into an election year, of course, so they're trying to ramp up all the crazy again. But, for those of you who don't know this already, although I imagine 100% of your listeners do, given especially the ads I was hearing for all sorts of good natural products during the last 4 minutes, masking doesn't work, guys. The holes in the mask are 1,000 times bigger than the size of the virus particle. But the one thing a study in Gainesville discovered, they put brand new masks on little kids when they walked into school in Florida one morning, and after just 8 hours of wearing those masks, they sent them off to the lab to get them analyzed, and they were drowning in all sorts of bacteria. We're talking antibiotic-resistant strep and staph and fungi and bacteria, and I mean, you name it, these things. Literally, I stood up in front of 10,000 people in Florida as soon as this study came out, and I said, long story short, you don't need to be a research chemist to understand what I'm about to say. You would be better off letting your kid lick a urinal at the LAX airport on your way to Europe this summer than letting your kid go to school in a mask based on what they found in that lab. Like, not only do they not work, you're hurting your kid, and there's a neurobiologist out of Europe with more degrees and training than I could shake a stick at who said that just a minor drop in oxygen for just a little bit of time actually starts to kill the neurons and neural connections in your child's hippocampus. And what's scarier, Dave, is when you fully restore the oxygen and rip that mask back off their face, those connections are never rekindled. They're never restored. you are basically doing permanent brain damage to your child when you are masking them. And this lunacy has got to stop. And the beautiful thing is, all it takes is somebody standing up and saying no. All the things I've done in the last 3 years, very few lawsuits. Most of it has been name and shame programs where you figure out the bad plan, masking in schools, drag queen hour with your preschool or whatever it might be. You figure out the name of the person pushing the bad plan, who is spearheading this BS nonsense. And then you get a private eye or a soccer mom with some time on her hands to go research them, and you're looking for anything in their past that is not pleasant. And let me tell you, if they're trying to force communism on your kids or a bad thing on your kids, it ain't their first rodeo on doing bad stuff. Maybe they like to sleep with seven-year-old boys. Maybe they cheated on their taxes. Maybe, like our health officer here in Orange County, they spent the first 8 years out of med school working for their mother's methadone clinic in Utah, in Mormon country, handing out Suboxone prescriptions to heroin addicts, handing out one opiate to guys who were trying to get off their favorite opiate. That is the kind of stuff that doesn't play well. And you just put it on blast, my friends. You just make it known to your community. And at that point, human nature will do the right thing, and they will get that person out of Dodge on a rail, as they should, because if that person is your new health officer and they are trying to cut the oxygen to your kid's brain, that is a dangerous thing. I'm talking a seriously dangerous thing, and you have every right to use your First Amendment rights and do some research and gather with your friends and make your voice heard until they run out of their public office. And we need to do more of that. We just do.
Yeah, I love it. See, this is we've had the Iowa moms, the mama bears on the show, and they're doing the same thing. I love the expose idea, though, folks. See, it doesn't take much, which is why I have benverified.com, because, I mean, that's a start where you can get in there and you can start doing some serious research, because I do paralegal work for foreclosure defense attorneys. So the bigger issue here, though, is everything that you're just describing and what they're trying to do to our kids and how to expose it. Brady in Vegas, you are on the phone with Lee Dundas. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I just seen that we're about 2 weeks out from having the airlines bring back the mask mandates. And out here in Vegas, I see everybody driving around with the face diapers, and they even got like a new motorcycle helmet attachment that goes over their head. They kind of look like a space guy or something. But anyways, everywhere you go, these people are just already freaked out. They know that this is coming. And what I see with the kids, though, I still can't take it. I watched through the lockdown 2 years of kids walking to school by themselves, wearing their face mask in 110-degree weather here. And the air out here in the valley in the last few years has just been horrible. And what I wanted to really ask you about, though, is when you're talking about all the child trafficking and all the sex trafficking, what the biggest thing that's happening over in the Ukraine with Vladimir Putin exposed was the deep underground military bases that are full of the adrenochrome labs and the organ harvesting, along with the child trafficking and the slavery. You got levels and levels that go down miles deep, and each level is worse, like Dr. Mengele experiments, where they're operating and doing all different scientific experiments. And I think that it's going to be exposed more in between the world court coming up. You're going to see military tribunals of what they've been doing. The experiments that they're doing are just a continuation of the World War II Germans and what the Nazis were doing with the experimentation. And unfortunately, our government, by joining up with NATO, went along with the Nazi regime. They are no longer a military for the American people. They are for the world government or the Illuminati. They are using all these
Hey, Brady, I want Lee to comment. I want Lee to comment on this. I appreciate your call, Brady. I want Lee to first. I want you to comment on this situation with the adrenochrome. You've obviously heard that coming in from certain circles around the globe. You're familiar with that, right?
I'm familiar with the adrenochrome issue, and you know it's part and parcel, as Brady mentioned, of a larger issue, which is children and people the world over are sacrificed for their organs. They're used in medical research. There's a whole black market of people who can't get organs they need here. You know, they've abused their lungs, they need a lung transplant, they need a kidney transplant, or they just have some genetic disease, and they get on these registries here, and there's just not enough organs. Well, you go to a foreign country, you pay enough money, you can get a new body part. But the question is, where are these body parts coming from? And they're not necessarily necessarily coming from a downed motorcycle accident victim who suffered a brain injury like they are here in America. They're coming out of people who were perfectly happy living human beings who were taken off the street and sacrificed for their body parts. And it is an unfortunate reality that part of the human trafficking trade is organ harvesting and organ trafficking. And we see it a lot in cultures where people can't fight back. I mean, in China, in most countries, we have not dealt well with religious minorities or native tribes. And those are the ones who are most vulnerable, and those are the ones who are gone after. And, of course, kids are inherently vulnerable because of their small size and the fact that, you know, they're just not full-grown adults yet. And we need to stop treating humanity inhumanely. It doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter if you're a child or an adult. It doesn't matter what country you're living in. We all have a right to coexist peacefully here on this planet. And the good news is, with the way the craziness has been in the last 3 years, I think every single person on the planet has said the word vaccine at least once, and they've said the word human trafficking at least once. And the upside of that, maybe they're on the wrong side of this knowledge base still, but they're at least talking about the topic, and that is a start, because you can't fix a problem you don't even know exists, or you don't even know the word for, or you're not aware of. And so we are raising the awareness level slowly but consistently the world over on topics that need to be talked about more. And one of those is adrenochrome and human trafficking, and the fact that our governments and our power elites and in some cases bases are used for sex trafficking and other nefarious activity. And as well, we are starting to get on the right side of this with Ma and Pa Kettle sitting on their couch in flyover country somewhere going, holy heck, sex trafficking happens even in my town, and oh my goodness, I didn't realize that people were sacrificed for their organs, and I didn't realize that maybe this vaccine that was a medical experimentation that was never FDA approved, that technically given the Nuremberg codes coming out in Mengele's World War II Germany never should have been able to be mandated because it's still in the experimental phase, is maybe not so good for me. I mean, these are things that people are starting to actually have hard conversations about, and we need to do more of it, not less. But we're headed in that direction, and that's one of the few good things that's come out of the last few years.
Well, it's no wonder you've gotten endorsements from General Michael Flynn, who near and dear to me, and Christiane Northrup, MD, who we're trying to get on the show. I mean, it's hard to get some of these frontline doctors on. We've had a bunch. I mean, Brian Artis and Ed Group and some of the people that are going to be in Dallas September 8th and 9th were on the show. And I mean, they're totally plugged into what you're doing and what's going on, and the fact that you're on the front lines fighting for everybody's rights, including American pilots. And now they want to do an AI pilot. This is just you heard about what the FAA is saying, that they've uncovered like 5,000 pilots literally have been lying about their medical conditions in order to continue to have a job after they got the jab. And it was either jab or job. And I mean, it was what it was. And I mean, why do people want to continue to fly knowing what the chances are that somebody in the cockpit's going to have a bad experience?
Yeah, I mean, that was really unfortunate, and that's why I took on the head of the FAA. We wrote I wrote the letter, and then I went to Tom Wright and Bobby Kennedy and you know, McCullough and Malone, everybody signed it with me. But I sent a letter to the head of the FAA back at the end of 2021 when we were seeing pilots dying by the dozens. You don't even want to know how bad it is once you're in the know. And I said, what the heck are you playing at? We have a federal regulation on the books that says not only are pilots not supposed to fly with unapproved FDA products in their system, whether it's a new diabetes drug or a new COVID vaccine, they're not supposed to fly for 12 months after a newly approved drug is given the stamp of approval. Do you know why? It literally says in the regulation, because we want to give a sufficient window for negative adverse effects that might not have turned up basically during the FDA trials to work themselves out and not do it using our pilots as guinea pigs. Why? Oh, I don't know, because it makes some common sense here that you don't want your pilot who's got 400 American lives in his hands, you know, spazzing out at the controls as he's coming into landing at Dallas-Fort Worth because you gave him some, you know, newly approved FDA drug that's been on the market all of one day. Well, and here we have the head of the FAA, Stephen Dixon, the head of the FAA, not just allowing the airlines to allow their pilots to take this completely unapproved bioweapon in the form of the COVID vaccine, but to mandate that they do it. And I'm like, what the heck are you playing at? I sent this letter to every single CEO of every single big airline and the head of the FAA, and I carbon copied all the insurance companies. And I said, let me explain it to you real simple, folks. We've got pilots who are having tonic-clonic seizures and dying in bed. And there, but for the grace of God, go you. Because at some point, one of these guys is going to go into a tonic-clonic seizure or have a stroke or have a heart attack after the autopilot is taken off and when that boy is coming in for landing. And when he's coming in for landing, only one pilot's hand is on the controls. And if that guy has a medical emergency, God help those passengers, literally, because you are going to have a wing dip and you are going to be cartwheeling 400 soon-to-be dead Americans, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and grandbabies, down the tarmac at Dallas-Fort Worth. And all it's going to do is take one of those times to break this issue wide open. And I hope to heck it doesn't happen, but I'm telling you, you are playing Russian roulette, and odds are it eventually will. And at that point, the Department of Justice and everybody else is going to move in and go, oh, why were you covering this up? Let us fine you a few billion dollars of punitive damages and fines to make this point abundantly clear that this is not how we play ball with our pilots' health. And I sent that letter off. I waited till the day before Christmas. I had process servers hand-deliver it to the home addresses where I knew these people were going to be for Christmas so that their wives could open up their doors and go, honey, what the heck did you do at work this year? And I am proud to say that within about 3 weeks, the head of the FAA, Stephen Dixon, resigned in the middle of his term, and they started talking about closed-door hearings at the FAA to get their arms around this issue. But I got to tell you, Dave, how the heck do you get the arms around the issue? This is one bell you cannot unring. You've got pilots with this COVID vaccine, which is a bioweapon in their body, and they are a ticking time bomb, and darn right they're not outing themselves. They know they're going to be out of a job, but by not outing themselves and the fact that they're having heart palpitations and they've probably got subclinical myocarditis, which is a heart problem that's going to kill them, they're putting all of us at risk. It's really a bad scene, and they never should have allowed this to happen, but they did, and now here we are down the river.
Yeah, and I feel sorry for Bob Snow, because where's his compensation? You know, I mean, we've talked about Captain Snow a lot on this show, and I really feel for him because he wanted to teach his daughter how to fly, and now he can't do that.
Yeah, and I worked with a bunch of pilots that had basically stroked out at the panels, and it was God flying the airplane that allowed them to land. They lined up. One of the guys, Cody, I can't remember his last name, small pilot, he was a crop duster down in Mississippi, and he told everybody on air when we were at Turning Point USA or CPAC or one of those, I forget where, and we were being interviewed by the media, and he said, you know what, my vision went out. I couldn't see anything. The last thing I saw, I lined up over a two-lane highway, but then I decided there were cars beneath me. That's what they teach you to do when you're in flight school, is get over a major freeway because you can use it as a landing strip. But he said, I looked down and I saw cars, and I got two kids of my own, and I couldn't do that. So I stayed just to the side of the road, and I tried to land in a flat field in the hopes that somebody would see me crash. I knew I was going to crash and at least be able to maybe pull my body out before it burned up. And God must have been with him, because he was able to land that tiny plane he was in, not take out any barns or farmers or people on that highway, and he landed it without it exploding. But this is what's happening to our pilots in the cockpit. It is a ticking time bomb, and the FAA never should have broken that federal regulation. That federal law and regulation existed to ensure the flying safety of the pilots and the people they protect who are behind the cockpit. And when they allowed the carriers to mandate the vaccine, not just allow it, but mandate it, they put those pilots in an untenable position, and a lot of those guys are paying the price. They've got serious medical problems. They can't fly anymore. They can't make a living. And like you just said, they can't even teach their kids to fly. I mean, it is very sad.
Well, and so you got today's news. Maine General Health fired hundreds of healthcare workers in 21 for refusing to take the jab. Now they're reaching out to all of those people who left and were denied unemployment benefits, wanting to come back to work. And a lot of them are going, right. So, I mean, with the CDC, they're a PSYOP propaganda agency. They can't make up their mind at any given moment. They, of course, were asked to respond to speculation that the agency is going to bring back mask mandates on public transportation. And at the same time, former President Trump, who we played his clip out there, said, we're going to fight this thing. Do not comply. And the CDC is going, well, but, you know, we don't know. We are seeing an uptick in hospitalizations from COVID. I'm like, really? Is that, you know what, you knew the real truth behind these hospitalizations. We had nurses calling up saying, these hospitals are empty. There's nobody here. What are they talking about?
They were dancing in the hallways. They were getting they were getting furloughed and taking time off. There was nobody there because what keeps hospitals going isn't the medical emergencies; it's the scheduled operations. Well, they tabled any planned operation, so nobody was going in for their elective surgeries or even their more important ones. And you know, the occasional bus accident isn't enough to keep your average mid-sized hospital in a metropolitan area in business. And then you know they mandated, and a lot of the people who understood what this was about, has stuck to their guns and said, heck no, I'm not taking that thing. You couldn't pay me $1 trillion to take it. And then, you know, we had the nurses leaving, but then we started seeing the vaccine injuries, which were not COVID injuries. They were COVID vaccine injuries. Now the hospitals are full of myocarditis patients and side effects and central nervous system disorders and the whole nine yards, but they're understaffed because they let all their nurses go who stood on their morals and said, we're not taking the jab. And now they're between a rock and a hard place. And, you know, but I got to say, this is how you fight it. You pull your kid out of school. You don't go to the stores that are mandating the stupidity, whether it's the vax or the mask mandates. You don't go to your healthcare provider. You break the back of the business economically who is doing silly, stupid, anti-American, unconstitutional stuff. And eventually, they give a darn about the dollar, they will get back in their right lane. And or you name and shame them. You just hold the protest in front until it is so untenable. Their five customers can't even, they have to part the Red Sea to get in their front doors, and they go, I don't want to confront this angry mob of First Amendment sign-wielding soccer moms and mama bears. They decide to go into another business, and eventually the Trader Joe's and the Mother's Markets and the Whole Foods that were in Sprouts mask mandating, at least out here in California, they'll get back in their right lane. But you need to do that. You can't just go, oh, I'm too busy, I don't have time to do that today. You need to correct these institutions that are doing the wrong thing. Otherwise, they're going to take over the country.
Well, and see, the blessing today and the good news is that the mother whose daughter was secretly transitioned in California just settled for $100,000 with the school district. Thank God for small favors. Lee Dundas, thank you so much for being with us on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, go and check out LeeDundas.com and buy the book, Just Stand Up. Thank you for being on the program today. What a godsend. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back tomorrow. You veterans are going to want to tune in. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America. You got to fight to keep it. Not going to stand on its own two feet. You got to help. See you tomorrow.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrex is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829.
Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the OregaResp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Mm.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding product. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.